Well, I don't think I have to tell you that that's some pretty good piano playing right there. He played that one church, and one man came up to me and said, I want to look at his hands. He has to have more than 10 fingers. He has to have, amen. But anyway, he's got limber fingers, praise the Lord. But I appreciate Brother Colton, and of course, and growing up there in the church that we pastor, and God has gifted him in a great way, and thankful that he's using that talent for the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 51. Psalm 51, you pray for me tonight. I walked off and left my glasses, and so it's going to be an adventure for me to read my scripture tonight, but I will. I will clarify. I am reading out of the King James Bible. If it don't sound like it, don't think I got one of them funny Bibles. All right? Because I don't. But anyway, Psalm chapter 51. And I want to start reading verse number 1. David, the psalmist David, is writing here. And David is in a low place in this passage of scripture that I'm reading. He says in verse number 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight, and ask you, God, that you'd help me now for just a few moments in this place, that I might bring this message, God, that you've impressed upon us for this hour. Lord, thank you for this week and the blessing it's been to be here. And I pray, God, that you take the messages this week to the hearts of this people. Help them, I pray. Encourage them, Lord, in the way. And Father, we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. In the context of the scripture that I'm reading, David is a broken man. David has committed an egregious sin against not only his fellow man, but against God. And we find the context here that David has been confronted by the prophet Nathan. Of course, we all know the sin of David in taking Bathsheba, another man's wife, Uriah. And of course, you know the story of how David, in order to try to cover up his sin, allowed Uriah to be taken out to the battlefield and to be left there to die. And now the man of God has stood and pointed out to David that said, David, thou art the man. Now, David is in a broken place, but I like what happened here in David's life. He's not like a lot of people today. When people get broken, they don't want to have a repentant heart. But David is at a place now, and David recognizes, see, David is a man after God's own heart. David is a giant killer. David has done many great things for God, but yet now his sin, those things that he's allowed in his life, has brought him low in his life. I'm glad that this wasn't the defining theme of David's life. I'm glad that David arose from this, repented toward God, and God restored David. Now, the sword never left David's house. We know that. God said there are consequences to sin. but said, David, you can finish out this thing in my will. You can serve me. If you don't believe that, you'd have to look in the book of Acts. And one of the last words that's said about David in the Word of God, in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36, the Bible says, for after David had served his generation by the will of God, he fell on sleep. So one of the last things that's said about David in the Word of God, it doesn't talk about his sin of adultery. It doesn't talk about his broken state, he said, but said David served his generation by the will of God. David finished his race in the will of God after being broken. I wish today that we could get that through to the brethren in most of our churches. We're living in a day there's never been more broken people than there are today. There's never been more people. Sometimes the brokenness is caused by our own sin. Sometimes people are broken by what others have done to them. There are many things David faced. As a matter of fact, there was three aspects to David's brokenness. First of all, it was because of a sin that was personal. Every one of us have got enough sin in our members to bring us to the place, the very place that David was. Now, if you get to thinking, oh, that never happened to me. No, and it probably never happened to you. You killing a giant either. Amen. I don't care who you are. If you're breathing air, you're born in flesh, and there is sin that is in our members. I don't care how long you've been saved, you still got sin in your members. Now, that soul has no sin in it. But our members have sin and has the same propensity to sin that we did before we got saved. The only thing that's keeping it back is the restraining power of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. So David's personal sin had brought him low. In this story of David's life, there's a separation that's broken him. There was a little baby involved in this story now, conceived by Bathsheba, and yet the prophet pronounced that the baby would not live. And you know the story, how David went in and lay on the earth 7 days. He wouldn't eat. David is heartbroken by his sin. He's heartbroken. And he said, who can tell what God may do? But we know the story that the baby died. Can I say to you that your brokenness may be because of something that has been taken from you, something tonight that seems like you can't live without. And then David's brokenness was because there was a sword. His sin not only affected him, but it affected his entire family. And that sword never left his house. His children understood the consequences. That's why we ought to be careful, Mom and Dad, because our children can suffer the consequences of our sin. But I begin to think about that. But here, what I really want to focus on, not so much on the brokenness, but on the restoration that God gave. I was studying about brokenness one day, and I ran upon something that I had never been introduced to. I didn't know it was something, a thing that people did, and I was reading about brokenness. I brought something with me tonight to illustrate what I'm talking about. And I've got here in my bag, I've got a pottery vase here that I've had for several years, if you can see it. I bought this pot. It's ceramic, and I bought it several years ago. I was preaching a message over there where Elisha, where the creditor is coming to get the widow's sons, and he asked her, said, what you got in the house? She said, I have nothing save a pot of oil. He said, well, go borrow vessels, borrow not a few. And I bought this pot to take with me because I preached a message on when God fills up a pot, you ain't got. You see, he can fill up every pot I've got, and he can even fill up ones that I ain't got. But I brought this. I had preached that message one night, and I was coming back from revival meeting, had it in the back floorboard of my truck, and I guess I was going a little faster than I should have, and I come down a hill, and there was something, somebody's either bowed up and stopped in the road, and I had to hit my brakes pretty hard, and when I did, I heard a clinking noise in the back of my truck, and I said, oh no, that don't sound good. When I got home, sure enough, my pot, when I opened up the bag, my pot had broken. It was broken in half. It had broken several pieces. And my first reaction was, well, I'll just throw it away. It's just cheap old pot. I bought it as an illustration. I just ought to throw it away. But there's a part of me that says, you know, but I kind of like it. And I got to looking and I said, I wonder if I could put it back together again. I wonder if maybe if I could get all the pieces and I could put it back together again. So I got gathered up all the pieces and I got them just right and I got me some glue. And sure enough, I was able to put it back together. If I hadn't have told you tonight that this pot had been broken, you wouldn't have known it. But you see, I thought about that. I'm glad there was a day when the Lord saw me in a broken state. I'm glad there was a day when the Lord saw me when my life was in a shambles. And yet, you know, the world would have said, throw him away. He's no good. Throw him away. There's nothing good that can come out of his life. But I'm glad God looked down there and said, you know, I believe there's something worth trying to repair there. I believe there's something worth trying to restore there. And I went about that process of putting that pot back together. I was studying about brokenness, and I came upon something that is practiced in Japanese culture. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it or not, but there is an art form that they do called kintsugi. Has anybody ever heard of kintsugi? Anybody here? No, y'all ain't Japanese. You have. I noticed you nodding your head. Y'all ain't Japanese, so you've never heard of it. In the 15th century, there was a Japanese military commander had a ceramic bowl that he really liked. And it got broken one day. And he really liked it, so he commissioned some of his men. He said, take this and see if some of them can repair this bowl. I love it. It's my favorite bowl. And said, I want them to repair it. Well, they brought it back to him, and they had repaired it in a way that it was unsightly. He said, I don't like that. He said, find some of the artisans and see if they can do anything with it. And from that came a process known as what they call it as kintsugi. I was looking up the definition of this, and this says it is an art form, and it says this about it. It said, it is the art of embracing damage. It is a Japanese art form for repairing broken pottery with lacquer mixed with gold, silver, or platinum. It treats breakage and repair as part of the history of an object rather than something to despise. Amen. Modern artists experiment with ancient technique as a means of analyzing the idea of loss and improvement through destruction, repair, and rebirth. Hallelujah. If you get on the internet and you go to looking up this word kintsugi, you'll pull up some of the most beautiful pieces of artwork that you'll lay your eyes on. And every one of them at one time were broken in pieces. I'm preaching on the subject tonight on when God turns your broken into beautiful. I'm glad that I serve a God. Amen. I'm glad I serve a Savior tonight. When the world looks at us and we're broken and it seems like an ugly mess, I'm glad there's a Savior that looks at us and says, oh, just wait till I get through with them. Just wait till I put my touch on them. I can turn what the world views as broken and worthless and useless, I can turn it into something beautiful. Amen. After I found out about that, see, when I first put this back together, I just used regular glue. And you couldn't tell where this pot had been broken. But after I heard about what they do, they'll take that lacquer and they mix gold dust in with it. So that when that glue is put in there, that gold dust, the gleaming gold, shows forth in the places where the pot was broken. Some of y'all thought this was just a decorative design that was put on this pot. But no, that's exactly where it was broken. It was broken all the way around. I took me some gold paint and put on there just to emphasize it. And I thought about, if you saw that in the store, you'd say, boy, that's pretty design on that right there. Well, the design is where this vessel was broken. But if you only see where it's broken, then you're missing the whole story. When you look at this vessel, it reminds you of where it was broken. But what you need to get your eyes on It ought to remind you of where it was restored. It ought to remind you of where it was put back together again. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a God that no matter how broken you are, no matter how bad your situation is, I'm glad there's a God with His love. Oh, when I think about gold, in the Word of God, the first mention of gold is in the book of Genesis chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, maybe chapter 1, talking about the Garden of Eden where the rivers flowed through. It said the gold in that land was good. The first word associated with gold in the Bible is good. You say, you reckon it's good? I don't know. Ask your wife, praise the Lord. Now, she'll probably tell you it's good, amen. But I thought about many times I've performed wedding ceremonies, and I'll look at the groom and I'll say, do you have a token of your love for your wife-to-be? And he'll say, I do, and he'll have a gold ring or a silver ring, and it's a picture of love. I'm glad there's a God that takes His love, and He wraps His arms around us, and praise God, when we're in a broken heap, just like David was. David said, God, I've sinned. He said, I need You to cleanse me, purge me with hyssop. He said, and I'll be clean. David said, I'll tell you what you need to do, Lord. You need to renew a right spirit within me. He said, I'm messed up in mind and soul and body. And said, God, I need You to help me. But I'm glad God said, I can do that, David. I'm glad God, I'm glad He didn't throw David away. But I'm glad David finished. The Bible said he served his generation by the will of God. Hallelujah to His name. Now, I know a lot of times when you get broken by sin, men won't forget it. But I'm glad there's a God that when He forgives it, He forgets it. Amen. I'm glad, just like that song I wrote, It's Under the Blood. Boy, I tell you one thing right now, I wouldn't even be worthy to stand up here and preach to you tonight if some of those things back yonder in my life that I wouldn't want to tell you were displayed to you tonight. But I'm here to tell you tonight the reason that I can stand before you tonight, a man that can stand with confidence, is I know the fullness of God's forgiveness. Hallelujah to His name. And I'm glad He can take a broken life. I'm glad He can take a broken heart. I'm glad He can take whatever your brokenness is tonight. I'm glad God can put it back together again. Hallelujah. You ever heard that old nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. They forgot one thing. The king could.
Amen.
The king's horses can't help you, and the king's men can't help you. I can't fix your brokenness. Brother Brady can't fix your brokenness tonight, but I'm glad the King of Glory, who purchased the right to restore your life tonight on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad He's in the business of putting it back together again. I'm glad He's in the business of helping us in our struggles. Amen. I was reading about that process that they use, and I'll give you quickly tonight three things in the process of this kintsugi. The first one, I call it the fastening aspect. They call it crack joinery. In other words, if they're going to put it back together, it's kind of like working a puzzle. They got to find all the pieces and find where they fit, and then they got to put them back together. You see, that night I had this all back together. I kind of set it together, and it was sitting there, but I hadn't used the glue on it yet. You see, the thing about it is, it don't matter. You can put stuff back together in your life. You can do it yourself. But without something to hold it together, you're not going. It's not going to be any good. Can I say to you tonight, a lot of people said, how can I hold my home together? Preacher, how can I hold my relationships together? How can I do this and how can I do that? I'm going to tell you, you're going to have the one that can hold it together. Amen. You're going to have Jesus in your life. I see so many people, they're trying to figure their problems out. They're trying to, if I could just get someone to counsel me, or if I could just get this or get that. No, I tell you what you need a trip to an old-fashioned altar. You need to come in face-to-face with the King of Glory. You need to do like David when you've heard the Word of God, telling you what to do, then you need to do it and ask God to cleanse you, forgive you, and fill you. And I'm glad God can help you in the brokenness of your life. They said the first one's a fastening aspect. Something got to hold it together. Wonder what's kept y'all that are here today out of jail today. You say, I ain't done nothing to deserve. If they could have read your mind today, they'd already done had you locked up probably. I'll tell you what's holding us together. It's not our goodness. It's not our morality. I'll tell you what's holding us together. It's the glue of God's love and His mercy and grace. I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, it's all going to be by grace. Amen. That's why I thank Him for the grace. Because it's His grace that carries me. You see, the fact of the matter is, every one of us ain't nothing but a crackpot. You say, Lord, I ain't coming back. He called me a crackpot. I ain't coming back either. It's Friday night. I'm going home tonight too, praise the Lord. So you, if you pooch out your lip if you want to. We all a bunch of crackpots. But aren't you glad there was a Savior that when we was cracked and messed up, He came to where we was at and said, hey, boy, I want to help you. Ma'am, I want to help you. I want to do something to bless your life. I thought about there's the fastening aspect. And then number two, there's the what I call the filling aspect. In the breaking of this, sometimes the breakage will be such that there'll be a part that maybe disintegrates and there'll be a hole left in the vessel. That was the very thing that happened to this one right here. There's a little indention here, as you can see, preacher, on this one. It's not completely. There was a little hole right there. After I put it back together and stuck it back together, still, there's a hole. Something had been took out of it. And it couldn't be recaptured again. But in that process, what they do is, where the holes have been left, they just fill it with that gold lacquer. Matter of fact, they put something in there more precious than what was in there before the break ever happened. Amen. Amen. They put that in there. And they fill up every area that the damage has been in. It fills up places that have been lacking. It fills up places that have been taken away. And God is the great filler-upper. Amen. I'm glad you may be here tonight and there's a hole in your heart. There may be something. There may be a loss. You're like David. David was mourning the loss of a child. And there was a hole in his heart. But God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you. David said, well, I'm going to get up from here and this is what I'm going to say. I can't bring him back, but I sure can go to where he's at. Amen. That's a man who doesn't have the whole field in his heart. Amen. Yeah. I got news for you right now. Your breakage may be somebody. You've lost somebody. You're just broken over it. It may be a mate, a husband, a wife that many years. And boy, sometimes that is so devastating in our lives. A few years ago, there was a lady, and her mother had died. And I asked her, I said, how's your daddy doing? I said, I knew your mother passed away. And she said, well, preacher, he's not doing too good. Said, all he does is sit there at the house and look at that empty chair. And I got that thought on my mind, and I wrote a song called God Gives Grace to Fill an Empty Chair. Have you noticed I write a lot of grace stuff? God gives grace to fill an empty chair. When loved ones leave, He promised He'll be there. We'll meet again in heaven in a place that He's prepared. And thank our Savior for the grace that filled an empty chair. You may be here tonight and you got an empty chair in your life. Well, I'm glad the love and the grace of God can fill it tonight.
Amen.
You see, they put that gold in there, and you know, I got to think about this pot. Somebody says, well, they're broken, they ain't worth nothing. I got news for you. Those pots that they do this process in, they're worth more after they're broken than they were before.
Amen. Yeah.
Matter of fact, before I broke this pot, it was just a run-of-the-mill. I think I maybe paid $6 or $7 for this pot. But now, in this state, this is a one of a kind. There's not another one exactly like it in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. I'm glad He's done filled up all the holes in me. Everything the devil knocked in me and the dents he knocked in me. I'm glad there's a God that walked up one day in His love and mercy and grace when I fell at His feet. I'm glad He filled up everything that was lacking in my life. Amen. I'm glad there's a God that can turn your broken into something beautiful. There's the fastening aspect. Something got to hold it together. There's the filling aspect. And then last, there's what I call the fitting aspect of this process. They said that it's called, they call it the joint call. They said sometimes the breakage is so bad that there are many pieces that can't be recovered and it can't be fit back together. So what they'll do then, they said, they will find another vessel similar to it that has been broken, and they'll get a piece from that other vessel and they'll bring it and they'll put it into this one. And they said sometimes they'll put so many of them that it creates a patchwork pattern, kind of like a patchwork quilt. Is anything any more pretty than a patchwork quilt? And they said sometimes they'll, you see, this is what I like about this. Now, somebody hold my mule, I'm about to shout, praise the Lord. God does a new thing in an old vessel. He brings a piece, a new piece, into this vessel's life that's going to add an element to it that it didn't have before. Some people say, well, preacher, I'm broken. My life's messed up, and there's somebody that's left out of my life, and somebody may have wounded you and injured you and hurt you badly. But let me tell you something right now. You're discounting the fact that there's a God that's able to bring some new pieces into your life. There's a God that's able to bring some people into your life that'll love you and care for you and help you. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad God can fit it all together. Hallelujah. And when He gets done, amen, it's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah to His name. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Because every now and then I need Him to do a new thing in my field. Amen. I need Him to, I say, God, I've made a mess of this. And then God say, hold on, boy. I got something I want to give. I want to do this right here. Every now and then I just need Him to do that. Can I say to you tonight, I don't know what your damage might be, what your brokenness may be, what it may be over. You may, right now, as I'm talking, you've got somebody in your life that's broken. Their life's a mess. The pieces, you just say, I don't know if I can. We can find all the pieces. Well, we may not be able to, but God can find the pieces that's needed to make them whole again. I've got a lot of people sits in my pews that came through the door broken. Matter of fact, I preached this message at the church, and one of our ladies, she's older than me, got white hair. She's actually my first cousin. She came up to me weeping. She said, preacher, I want to thank you for not looking down on all us broken people. I looked at her and I said, sis, we're all broken.
Yeah.
Every last one of us.
Right.
Some of them we just, you see, we're like this pot was when I put it back together with glue. You couldn't tell it had been restored. But when I put the gold on there,
yeah.
See, I quit being ashamed of where it had been broken. I said, I'm going to show everybody where it's been broke. That's empowering right there.
Yeah.
When you quit trying to hide your brokenness, when you quit trying to just slip in the church and slip out and hope nobody don't see you, when you finally get to the point you say, but no, ain't no use for me to act like that. God's done put me back together. And somebody needs to know that God's able, hallelujah, to His name. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a God. He can turn you broken into beautiful. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for how you've helped us. I pray, God, that you'd take now the message to the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, that you'd help us as we give this invitation. And Lord, may you help those that are maybe here heavy-hearted, maybe somebody they love that's in a broken state, maybe some emptiness in their life tonight, some hole that the enemy's left there, God, that needs filling tonight. I pray, Lord, would you help them tonight, this invitation, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's stand.